complaint. That didn't work. Okay, Your Honor.
So to continue our discussion on the mitzvah of tochacha, on the mitzvah of rebuke, so we point out an apparent contradiction. The Gemara in Yevamos says, just like it's a mitzvah to instruct someone to do something when you think they're going to listen, so too it's a mitzvah to keep your mouth shut when they're not going to listen. On the other hand, we have the Gemara in Erechim, which seems to say you go much further than that. Even if they're not going to listen, you give them rebuke up until they're going to hit you, up until they're going to give you patches, etc. So how do we reconcile the two? So we answered before, we reconciled in terms of Shogeg versus Mazid. The Avnei Nezer said, when do we say that you keep your mouth shut when the person is doing it unintentional? Because why make things worse? But they're doing it but Mazid, what's the difference? Then we went into that, why perhaps even Mazid you should or shouldn't do it. Another answer is by the Ritva. The Ritva wants to make a different distinction, a distinction between Yachid versus Rabim, an individual versus many. That when he's supposed to give rebuke to the people, that's when you're doing one-on-one. When you're giving one-on-one therapy, one-on-one rebuke, then you could go up until they're going to hit you, up until they're going to curse you out. But when you're dealing with the tzibor, you're just dealing with speaking to a group, so then better to keep your mouth shut if you don't think they're going to listen. So what's the pshat in the Ritva? Is it a fundamental distinction, Yachid versus Rabim, or is it a technical difference? What do I mean? In other words, do I say that is the Ritva saying fundamentally the mitzvah of rebuke only applies one-on-one? By definition, Ochiach tochiach es am Yisrecha, when the Torah talks about the mitzvah of rebuke, that's what they mean, one-on-one. But by definition, when you're dealing with 1 on 10, 1 on 50, that's not in the category of rebuke. Whether you should do it or not would depend on other principles, i.e. if you're a rabbi of a synagogue or you're a teacher, that could be a whole different realm. Is that what the Ritva is saying? Well, no, maybe there is no fundamental difference at all between giving rebuke to a yoch and a rabbim. The Ritva is much more pragmatic. He's just talking reality. We know when you're speaking to someone, you have a student, you invite them over to your home to go over the thesis, it's one-on-one, you have a much better chance of getting through to that student, etc. But if you're talking to 300 students in a classroom, who knows who's listening, who's there, etc. So it's not, by definition, there's no difference. You always have a mitzvah to try to make things better for everyone. It's just a practical thing that the Ritva thing is not going to work if you give the rebuke in front of 300 people, but one-on-one you have a much better chance of being accepted. And in fact, that's what, you know, and that's what it ties into in terms of whether is the issue of giving rebuke, is it all about the result? Or perhaps, as some suggested, no. Even if you wouldn't get the results, there's an issue of making a stand for Kavod Shamayim. Let's say God's honor is being disgraced. So even if the person is not going to listen to you, but perhaps there's something meaningful in terms of making a macha, making a protest, even if you're not going to listen, because either for you, but also for the sake of for God's honor. Like, for instance, the famous Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says there were three advisors to Paro. Good old Eov, Job, Yisro, and Bilam. And the Gemara says they are all rewarded and punished, Mida keneged Mida, corresponding to what they did or didn't do. So Yisro said, I can't, so because Paro said, kill the Jews, what should we do? What's the Jewish solution? So Yisro wanted no part of it, he ran away. So he gave up a prominent position. So he himself got a prominent position. He became Kohen Midja, and also his kids later on became on the Sanhedrin. Bilam said, kill the Jews, so we read about later on in the Torah, Vez Bilam ben Ba'or Hargu Bacharev. But where's the Mida connected Mida? Eov kept quiet, and he's the typical life of suffering. So the Briska Rav explains, I'll just give a different parable. Let's say it's, if you've gone to camp, maybe even home or whatever, a lot of times either someone's flushing the toilet when you're in the shower, someone's running the dishwasher, someone's running the washing machine, whatever the case may be, you're in the middle of taking a shower, and all of a sudden the water turns to boiling hot, and you scream, ah, as you jump out of the tub. So let me ask you, does screaming, ah, going to take away the burn on your back? No, but as I say in Yiddish, if it hurts, you scream. It doesn't make a difference if it's not going to help the result, but if suddenly you're in pain, that's a human reaction. You see someone else suffering, even though your protest won't help, nevertheless, for yourself, you have to make a macha. Like I remember when I was growing up in New York City, they used to have rallies for Russia, Soviet Union. And there was a whole machlokas among the different rabbis, what was the best way of helping the situation for those Soviet Union Jews. Was it, many felt, they had a protest, down Manhattan on one Sunday of the year, and others felt, no, you're making it worse for them. You should be sending letters to your senator, your politicians, do it behind the scenes. Okay, so everyone agrees you have to do something, so you find out, speak to your local expert and find out what they think you should be doing. But there's two aspects. There's obviously one reason to make the protest or write the letter is because you want to help the situation. Hopefully the situation won't get worse. Yeah. But even if it's not going to get better, for yourself, you're not just standing idly doing nothing while other people are suffering somewhere else. So there's two aspects. There's the result-oriented aspect of rebuke, but then there's the other aspect for yourself, or Kavod Shamayim, speaking up in the name of God. And that's what we said. That's the Machlokas Rashi and Ramban. When the Pasuk says that when you give rebuke, it shouldn't lead to sin, it's a misdirection, so be very careful the way you give rebuke, but it has nothing to do with the actual rebuke itself. No, by definition, rebuke means making the situation better. If by giving rebuke, it's going to cause the person to rebel and do worse, then obviously you don't have to, and not only you don't have to, you shouldn't give that person rebuke. So the Ritva's distinction was Yachid versus Tzibor. Whether when you're giving to an individual, then you go up until you're going to get cursed out of Apaches. But when you're dealing with the Rabbim, so then keep your mouth shut. And we said it, that's a fundamental question within the Ritva, whether there's a fundamental difference between Yachid versus Rabbim, or is this a technical difference? One last answer is from the Ramach, Rav Moshe HaKohen. He wants to give us a psychological insight. So we pointed out there's an apparent contradiction. One Gemara seems to say, if you're not going to be successful, keep your mouth shut. And the other Gemara seems to say, no, even if you're not being successful, keep on going until you don't have to get verbally abused or physically abused, but up until that point, keep on going. So up until now, we gave the answer. We said it was an apparent contradiction, and we wanted to reconcile either Shogeg versus Mazed, unintentional versus intentional, Yachid versus Rabbi. There is no contradiction. And the more you're in Rabbanas, the more you teach, the more you deal with people, the more you see how true it is. Because what sometimes is bringing up children, whatever the case may be, sometimes the worst thing is no response. In other words, you could speak to your kid to your blue in the face, but totally nothing's registering. You speak to your students like you speak into a wall. Sometimes the worst response is no response, but a lot of times when you say something, you hit a chord, you get that person excited. And maybe he might take it out the wrong way on you, but you see you hit something. Like, bottom line is, like, sometimes the worst thing is, like, anything you say, deadpan, nothing. But a lot of times when they start getting upset, it's because they realize, you're right, I am doing something wrong, and I want to be the one, and I have to be they don't want to admit it to you. So that's what the Gemara says. No question, no contradiction. Really, there's only a mitzvah to give some rebuke when they're going to listen. What about the Gemara says you got to go until you get cursed out or hit patches? No, that's what the Gemara is saying. Is you hit a chord, you said something, you see some reaction. So you see you're getting somewhere. That's a sign that you're getting somewhere, not that you're being unsuccessful.
There will be an effect.
And then you go up until the time you get Pashis up until now. But that's the Pshat. That's the Ramach, right? There's no contradiction that you give rebuke only in cases where it's going to be, where you see a potential for success.
Thank you. And there is another fact.